This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Good evening, Alyssa Walker Campbell with you tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, where we always have you covered the fastest 2 hours in radio. And you know what? We're going to stick our hand in the dirt. We're going to get after it because it may be the month of March, but the NFL draft, it's going to be here before you know it. And we're going to break it all down, the NFL teams, the scouting combine. And my guest to lead off tonight, oh, it's been a while since he's been on the show. We're so excited to have with us the NFL Draft Bible founder, and that is Rick Saratella. Good evening, Rick. It's nice to have you with us.
Hello. Good to catch up with you, Alyssa. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so Rick, we got to have some fun. We'll talk about everything that's been going on this week, but how fast can you run a 40? Are you like Tom Brady? Are you like my producer, Chris Taylor? I mean, how fast can you run a 40?
Well, if I could do a sub 5.0, I think I'd be doing good for myself.
Oh, well, probably a lot better than I can. So, okay, so let's get into it because free agency starts next week. Let's highlight some of the players that can help move these franchises forward. Who are some of the players that are generating a lot of buzz at the combine?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about some of these running backs being released. Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, you're hearing the Eagles are now poking the tires and kicking the tires on Jamal Charles. And,
yeah.
You know, Adrian Peterson's a guy that, you know, is going to be an interesting case study because, you know, are you getting a player who's past his prime like Emmitt Smith was latching on to the Arizona Cardinals towards the twilight of his career? Or is there enough gas in the tank for Adrian Peterson to get production out of him for a year or two and be a difference maker for a team, say like the New York Giants, who had an invisible rushing attack? So I think those two guys definitely have created a buzz. And, you know, on the offensive line, Russell Okung was released recently. He's going to be a headliner on the offensive line along with Andrew Whitworth. Larry Warford is the guy. And then the interesting saga of Kirk Cousins and how that will all unfold. And, you know, will Kyle Shanahan be able to pry him away and bring him to San Francisco? The quarterback musical chairs of the offseason, Mike Glennon is the guy kind of under the radar. But everybody, not everybody, but a good amount of teams out there do need a quarterback. So do they, you know, roll the dice on a guy like a Mike Glennon as opposed to taking one of these project quarterbacks? I call it the project quarterback class this year because these guys are probably 2-3 years away from actually being ready for NFL action.
You know, we'll talk some more about the quarterbacks and where potentially some of these guys could land, but you opened up and we're talking about Adrian Peterson. Okay, he played ball for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. How sweet would it be for him to be in Dallas? I mean, I think Cowboy fans would really embrace having him on board.
There has been some talk out of Dallas that should Joe Mixon fall to day three, maybe,
okay,
you know, instead of bringing back Darren McFadden, they would roll the dice on a guy like Joe Mixon. But, man, imagine Adrian Peterson paired up with Ezekiel Elliott, and that would be an interesting X factor to add to the equation.
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to the voice of Rick Saratella. He is the director of Player Personnel College Gridiron Showcase Symposium. It's a 5-day event for all of college football divisions for the top seniors around the country. I don't want to digress too much, but where can some of our listeners, as they're, you know, they're in front of their computer, where can they check you out online, Rick?
The best place is NFLDraftBible.com. We started off in 2002 as a publication, and now we're on location across the nation and on social media at NFL Draft Bible as well.
Okay, and where are you at tonight? I understand Indianapolis. I mean, what are you doing? What has your week been like?
Well, it's been a week of balancing the media mayhem with the industry networking. And, you know, once the festivities of the combine wrap up, then it's off to the networking events. And we hop and bop around the city of Indianapolis and look to spread the good word, the good gospel of the NFL Draft Bible. So right now, walking through the convention center on my way to another networking event, but the action doesn't stop, whether it's daytime or nighttime out in Indy.
Okay, so Rick, give us a sense of the NFL Combine. Is it a true measure of the potential of an athlete? I mean, Rick, what do you think? I mean, how accurate is it? I mean, does it really matter?
It matters. It doesn't matter. But I think that the resume has already been laid down by the players. Their film, the past three, four, however many years they've been in college, I think speaks for their resume. When you come to the combine, I think what the NFL scouts like to do and the executives and GMs, they want to check off the boxes. They want to make sure you hit certain marks, that you're, if you're an offensive lineman, that your arms are a certain length. If you're a quarterback, that you're a certain height, maybe the hand size. And then, you know, the medical checkup is really valuable because, you know, they have an independent doctor that puts these guys through physicals, checks for any kind of injuries, and you get a medical report on all these guys, and that's crucial when you're investing millions of dollars into a player. And then the last thing I think that really is the most important aspect of the NFL Scouting Combine is what we don't have access to, and that's the 15-minute closed-door meetings, one-on-one interviews that, you know, the teams get to meet with these players, and especially the quarterbacks. They'll put them through some chalk talk, make them break down some plays, ask them about their background and their personal life and, you know, what kind of people they hang around. Are they family oriented? And try to get to know the person as opposed to the player.
A moment ago, we were talking about some of the quarterbacks, you know, that are in the NFL. But what about, you know, coming over from the collegiate level? Can you give us a primer on that? Perhaps who is your favorite? And let's talk about Clemson's Deshaun Watson. I mean, how high ultimately do you think that he will go, Rick?
Well, you know, there is a mixed feeling on Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I think he's an interesting case study where I would compare him to a Teddy Bridgewater, a Michael Vick in this aspect. Are you going to make him a pocket passing quarterback, or are you going to allow him to be Deshaun Watson and improvise on the fly? Because that's when he's at his best, biding time, moving around on the in the pocket, when plays break down. And, you know, the downside to that, as we saw with, you know, for example, Tennessee, they catered their offense around Marcus Mariota, which is great. But as you can see, when you allow your quarterback to run around, you're also susceptible to injury. And Mariota now has been having a hard time staying healthy. And you saw that with Mike Vick back in the day when Jim Mara Jr. had him in Atlanta. They were debating, you know, trying to force him to be a pocket passing quarterback. But as we all know, Mike Vick was at his best when he was allowed to make plays and just be Michael Vick. And again, when Mike Vick was allowed to improvise and freelance, that's when he also got injured. So I think you have a little bit of that with Deshaun Watson. Ultimately, there's so many teams that need a quarterback in this year's draft. I do believe he is in that first-round conversation, but I think Mitch Trubisky, the North Carolina signal caller, he's probably a top three overall pick. Whether one of the top teams picking in the top five out of the top six teams, I think you could state a case for all need a quarterback. So whether one of those teams is interested or whether they trade down, I do think Trubisky will be the first one off the board. Obviously, a limited body of work, one-year starter. But I think once you get beyond that short intermediate range, he has the most efficient accuracy. And these other quarterbacks have to improve their decision-making. They need to improve their accuracy in that intermediate to long balls. And Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame is another guy where, you know, you have to be a little bit concerned where he wasn't able to hold off Malik Zaire for the starting job at times. Notre Dame was a winning program. They fell to a losing record on his watch. And I think that is something that NFL teams are going to want to probably circle back to, investigate, and say, hey, you know, what's going on with the situation at Notre Dame? Why did the program kind of fall apart when you took over as the quarterback? And I think that's definitely an interesting factor to weigh.
Rick Ceratella with us from the NFL Draft Bible tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've only got about a minute, but when we talk about this year's class, can you kind of compare the quarterback class of 2017 to years in the past? Because I understand it's maybe a little thin. I mean, is there a sense of desperation to find a good one?
Yeah, it doesn't have that sex appeal as in years past where, you know, a Jameis Winston, a Mariota, like we spoke about, you would plug and play him right away.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky might be one of those guys, but I think these guys are maybe 2 or 3 years away, a project, if you say. So, yeah, you're right. It's not as sexy quarterback class this year, but still some good signal callers. Pat Mahomes, another guy that could go pretty early and develop into a quarterback. So there is time for these guys to develop if they get into the right situation.
Okay, only got about 15 seconds. Where does Tony Romo, where's he going to land in 2017?
Well, I'm going to give you a dark horse candidate here. Tom Coughlin and Jacksonville have a great core of young players. Take a veteran guy like Tony Romo and suddenly they're playoff contenders.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a bold statement. Rick Saratella with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. What a great way to kick off our program. Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Stick around. Much more coming your way. In hour number one at SB Nation Radio, get ready. Lots of NBA talk.
Hey, this is Dan Marino, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Give your opinion on the latest and most important topics going on in the world of sports by following us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. Tweet us your reactions to the biggest moments in sports or join us on air by calling into our shows at any time at 1-800-777-2907.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back to hour number one at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, we opened up talking about the NFL Combine, NFL free agency, but right now we are going to completely shift gears. We are getting set for a book review, and I tell you what, you want to stay tuned because we have selected a very special one as we take readers on a mesmerizing tour of what seems to be a new frontier in performance enhancement. The new book, Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes, it's going to give you, as a listener or even as a reader, a new level of understanding of what is possible for elite athletes. And perhaps most importantly, hey, what is possible for all of us listening in tonight? So we are so thrilled to have with us a very accomplished, best-selling author and writer, Brandon Snead, who is with us. Congratulations on your book, Brandon.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's get right to it. Kind of set the stage. I mean, what can our listeners tonight, and when they get a copy of this book, when they open it up, what are they going to learn? Because I was fascinated. There's so much exciting material on performance enhancement and how the mind, how powerful it really is.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, first off, they're just going to have a great time. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stories as you're starting to see. And as you get further into it, I mean, you'll see it covers everything from technology that can show you your brain's activity on a computer screen to sensory deprivation chambers to old school meditation and what that does to the brain mm-hmm. to even stuff as crazy as psychedelic drugs, which are in clinical trials and athletes have indeed used them.
You know, and you share in the book, too, you talk about some big names. I mean, Steph Curry, Kerry Walsh Jennings, big fan of hers, and Russell Wilson. There are dozens of others that are experimenting with the concept with what you talked about in the book. What are they doing exactly to enhance and maximize that mental aspect?
Kerry Walsh Jennings is one of the most fascinating ones. She's one of the first ones that really came out as using what's called EEG mm-hmm. technology. And that's an older technology, actually. It's been around for a few decades. All it does, to simplify, is you attach some electrodes to your skull. It reads your brain's electrical activity as you go through some tests, and it basically shows you how good and how bad you might be at focusing, handling stress, and all that. And it just showed her how bad she was at relaxing when she needed to relax. And then you can actually use that same technology to train your brain to get better at what it needs to get better at.
Well, and I'm sure for Kerry, I mean, what was kind of her feedback from all of this? You talk about life-changing, even as a professional athlete. I mean, that's a very powerful result.
She said that when she first found it a few years ago, I mean, her life was kind of falling apart. I mean, she was doing great as an athlete, but she was burning out. Her marriage was struggling. I mean, her family was coming apart at the seams, and it was because she was just unable to turn off the gas, basically. So she got hooked up with a psychologist, Michael Gervais, who introduced her to, among other things, this technology, and it really blew her away and really helped her just change how her brain worked, literally, and so it changed her life.
How is she today?
She's great. She won a gold medal after that. Her family's good. Everything's good.
The title of the book is Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes. It's a nice, thick book. Brandon Snead is the author. And I understand this is your first book, right, Brandon?
It's my first with a big major publisher. I had a couple smaller ones that came out with smaller publishers a few years ago.
So as athletes, we know how to max out our body. We know how to push our bodies to the limits. So let's talk some more about the mind. If you're listening tonight, I mean, what's going to be that first step so that we can maximize our performance? We've got a lot of sports, you know, parents that are out there. You know, their kids play soccer, they play golf, all these different things. What can we do as parents to help train our kids to think differently?
Read this book, obviously.
Okay.
No, I would say just understand, I mean, how normal it really is for these great athletes to get mental help. I think there's still this really big stigma around mental health, mental health and all that. And these athletes, I mean, all the great ones talk to a therapist or a psychologist or somebody like that. If you don't know about them doing it, it's just because they're not talking about it in public. But they know it. And so I think that's the first step, is just being willing, whether it is talking to a therapist or just doing something else beyond your own knowledge to figure out how your brain and your mind might be working and where it might be not doing you some favors and how to get it better.
And as an author of this book, I mean, what were you able to incorporate into your own life? What did you learn? What were some of your takeaways from the research and the process?
A lot of it is actually in the book, because unfortunately the book became a lot more about me than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because I turned myself into a guinea pig to test all this stuff. Because when I first got into it, it was because I was trying to answer questions about my own brain. I was a college baseball player and had everything going for me physically. And then come time to play, was basically having panic attacks, which I didn't realize what was going on until years later. So I got some help, and then I was still just very curious about how a great athlete's mind would work. And that led me to this whole hidden world of completely revolutionized training for performance. And so everything that I kind of tested helped me in different ways, from the EEG stuff, which I tried, to the sensory deprivation chambers, which are super trippy but really cool and
wow,
amazing
okay.
in their own way, to a lot of other things.
Brandon, what if you're an athlete tuning in and you're already performing at a very high level? How can your book help them, you know, even perform even better and take it to the next level?
Well, I think it'll tell them what a lot of the people they're trying to beat are doing
uh-huh,
or might
okay.
be doing. That'll give them some secrets, maybe, that other people might be doing, and just making them more aware of what else is out there. I think that a lot of people have a lot of options, but part of my goal with this book was to sort of collect all of the sort of categories of all these different options into one place where people could think about them, talk about them, and learn about them. And so I think it'll just kind of, as much as it is a fun ride and entertaining story, just kind of be a roadmap for where to look next.
I thought it was interesting, too. You talk about the book, just, you know, how time-consuming and absorbed that you got into this whole process. How intense was it?
Oh, very intense. Well, you know, part of what I learned about myself is I have, you know, it's mild, but I have OCD, and thankfully it's under control now. But it is, you know, something, I get locked into something, and I got to figure it all out. So, I mean, I traveled all over, you know, North America, you know, crisscrossed around, you know, from coast to coast. I mean, meeting with different people, bought all kinds of crazy stuff to try out, bought the small libraries worth of books and read thousands of articles. I mean, it was pretty like mad scientist stuff there for a while, because I just, you know, I knew like I didn't want to put out another kind of pseudoscience book either,
right,
and I
right.
knew I wasn't a scientist, so I was just being very careful to make sure I got it right.
One of the chapters in there, you talk about meditation and mindfulness, and I'd love for you to hit on this. I mean, how religion or the spiritual side of people that are inclined to a belief, how does that enhance their performance and make them better?
I think one of the coolest things I learned about the meditation and the religious side of things is, obviously, if it's not done correctly, it can harm you, but more often than not, it will really help. And I don't just mean that in an ambiguous psychological way. Scientists have studied the effects on the physical part of the brain, which, you know, gets into super nerdy territory. But to me, it was just like realizing, okay, well, if I do deadlifts, my back will get stronger. I mean, it's really similar when you're doing meditation or when you're praying and studying and all these things. If you go about it the right way, it will make your brain a lot stronger in ways that will help you not get so worried and scared, because it makes you not as focused on yourself, and it makes you more focused on what is actually important, which in this case
yeah.
is your performance.
It is a compelling read. The title of the book is Head in the Game, The Mental Engineering of the World's Greatest Athletes. We've been going one-on-one with the author, Brandon Snead. Congratulations, Brandon. First time on the show. We look forward to another conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll come back anytime. And just if y'all are interested, headinthegamebook.com. I mean, you can buy the book anywhere, but there's some links there. But we'll also be posting pictures of some of this crazy stuff, some videos, and other just fun bonus stuff there, too, in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. And you've got a website, brandonsneed.com. Very impressive. Stick around. Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio. That's right. We're getting ready to hit the hardwood, talk some NBA.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show as we are inside the Quicken Loans Studios. It is time for some NBA talk. Big news this week, of course, specifically with the Golden State Warriors, because Kevin Durant, he's going to be out for at least 4 weeks, and you have to wonder, what kind of impact will this ultimately have? Will they win the West if KD is less than 100%? So we've got a lot of questions to dive into, and we are so delighted to have back with us at SB Nation Radio, that is Mark Spears with ESPN The Undefeated. He is the senior writer. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening to you.
Well, it's nice.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. First time for you to be on, Mark, in 2017. We love when you're on the program because you provide such great perspective. And you're out there in Cali, so we got to get into the Warriors, this massive injury by Kevin Durant. What's the outlook, and how much will they be impacted by Kevin Durant's absence?
Well, I think they get a big sigh of relief because they were certainly worried when it happened that he'd be done for the season. And, we'll see how he is when he comes back. But I think the one thing that kind of gives me some optimism is typically in a press release, they don't give any projections, strong projections on when a guy could come back, especially somebody of his nature. And in the Warriors press release, it said that he could be back before the end of the regular season. So to me, for them to put that in there is a good sign that, things are optimistic. And keep in mind, I mean, people aren't going to feel so sorry for the Warriors. They still got three other All-Stars in their team.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously what happened to Kevin is serious. And you don't want anybody to get hurt, but since he's going to be gone, they're still in really good shape. You got three All-Stars. You got two guys in Clay and Steph who's capable of easily adding 6 to 8 points to their scoring average if need be. And Draymond's also capable of adding more. And they're bringing in Matt Barnes, who, under the circumstances, no, he's not Kevin Durant, but I think he's a good addition not only for now but long term. He brings a versatile forward who can shoot the three, can stretch the defense, can play some point forward. He's a great passer, very unselfish player. Also brings some grit, some toughness, some swag, and somebody that really, really wants to be, not that people wouldn't, but that really want to play for the Warriors. Like, he's very emotional about this signing. This is the last place his mother had saw him play before she passed the cancer. Mm. So he really is excited about the possibility of returning to the Warriors and possibly getting a ring. And so I think he's a good pickup for Golden State under the circumstances.
But, can Matt provide 26 points per game? I mean, what kind of production are we talking about, Mark?
That's what I'm saying, that Clay and Draymond,
the big three,
are going to have to pick it up. I mean, they scored well last year. They went to the finals last year. They're still a pretty good team. They got a 4-game lead on San Antonio. So, not that San Antonio can't make it up. They're playing three more times. But this isn't, suddenly a terrible team. I think they have the talent to pick it up in the Washington game when Durant got hurt. And you can see that the guys were certainly immediately affected by it. You saw guys like Sean Livingston pick up their game and Andre Iguodala. And, David West is starting to play better. So you can't replace Kevin Durant by one person, but you, by committee, could put a Band-Aid on it that I think will work.
Hey, the senior writer with ESPN's The Undefeated. You got to check him out. Mark Spears is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. We're talking about Kevin Durant, his grade 2 MCL sprain. There's not a firm date in terms of when he will return, but there certainly has been, Mark, a lot of talk about Golden State. Could they be leapfrogged by the Spurs? I mean, are the Warriors, are they still your favorite to win the 2017 NBA championship?
Yeah, because I think Durant will be back by the time the playoffs start. Hopefully he'll be over with that knee injury, and his body will be pretty rested, too. Outside of the knee is, so he'll have some time, so it looks, to get the rust off and then not be detrimental. You know, if he could come back, say, the last 10 days of the season. And here's another thing. I know teams are scared to use it, but I never understand why teams don't use, like, the D-League to rehab guys. Rondo actually went to the D-League when he was with Boston to practice with the main Red Claws. But I don't understand why they don't do it like they do in the major leagues, where you'll see a notable pitcher go down and play in AAA or have somebody get some rehabs in rookie ball or something like that. You know, maybe they think it's different because, you know, baseball, you're not really touching anybody. But I do think that it might not be a bad idea to just help Kevin get some reps with the D-League team.
Hey, Mark Spears, senior writer with ESPN, joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, as we talk about the Warriors, they have 50 wins on the season. They clinched a playoff spot last Saturday, becoming the fastest team to do so in NBA history after beating Brooklyn. Give us a sense, though, right now, I know minus Kevin Durant, how are they playing at this point in the season? How is Steph Curry? I mean, give us some insight on this. How's he shooting the rock?
Well, I think now Steph will be probably picking it up a lot with Durant gone. He's played better, I think, over the last month or so, gotten more comfortable with all the changes. So he's been more himself. They've been playing pretty well as a team. Now, they've had a couple close losses, and no, they're not going to match last year's record, but they still have the best record in the league. And you know, it says a lot if you could have 4-game lead on San Antonio midweek. So I think they're fine. I still like their team a lot to win it. I still think they're the favorite. You know, people forget that Cleveland's got injury problems as well with Kevin Love being out. It's just been a terrible rash of injuries in the league over the last 10 days.
Yeah, there has.
Really, really sad. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason for all these injuries, but they're there. Whether it's Kevin Love or Joel Embiid or Kevin Durant or Ben Simmons. I mean, it's just Jabari Parker. It's been weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really weird. But, you know, life goes on in the NBA.
Yeah, it's really been bizarre. We're going to move ahead and talk about some of the teams in the Eastern Conference, but can you give me a hit? What do you see from San Antonio right now, and what are their chances of, you know, trying to catch up with the Warriors?
Well, they got about a little over a month to do it, and my question is, how bad do they want it? You know, Popovich is good at some rest late in the season. I don't know that they're a franchise that really don't care about home court. I mean, I always think it's a little overrated because the fans don't play. I guess you have less travel, and it's cool to be in your own gym for that last game. When I was in college, I always thought I played better on the road. Less distractions, and I like people talking junk to me. So, I don't think the Spurs really care if they have the number one seed or not. They feel like they could beat anybody anywhere. The tough thing is, you know, they beat up on the Warriors the first game of the season, and then they could play these last three games against the Warriors without Durant. So I don't know really how to gauge that series. I mean, we may not know unless both teams end up colliding in the playoffs. But I think that the Spurs are certainly as formidable as anybody to beat the Warriors, he's going to beat the Cavaliers. They could be champs now. I know people don't talk to him and they're often overlooked. But the San Antonio Spurs are for real. And Kawhi Leonard, why we don't talk about him in MVP conversations is probably because he's so quiet. But he's one of the league's elite players, too.
The NBA conversation continues with the senior writer from ESPN's The Undefeated, Mark Spears, tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio.
Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. The NBA conversation, it's going to continue with the senior writer from ESPN's The Undefeated, Mark Spears. We've hit on Golden State. We've talked about the Spurs, but we are based right here in Houston, Texas. And how about the Rockets? You talk about, Mark, what a difference a year makes. What a difference a head coach makes. What an incredible job that has been taking place right there with the Rockets.
I like the Rockets. Mm-hmm. They are a scary team to play against, very difficult to play against. They have the greatest collection of. Yeah, I know Golden State might look at me crazy for saying it, but pound for pound, they might have the best shooters. With Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got the three-point champ, Eric Gordon. Obviously, James Harden could get threes. Lou Williams was a super addition. Quietly, probably sixth man of the year. Ryan Anderson. They could win a three-point shootout. But that's the thing. They live by the three, die by the three. I wouldn't be surprised if unless Oklahoma City's record can improve and they can move up the ladder, which is very possible. Right now, I would say James Harden is MVP. And, he's had a fantastic year playing under D'Antoni's up-tempo offense with team at point guard. I think that was a brilliant move by D'Antoni. So, do I think the Rockets are going to win it all? No. I think they're capable of winning it all? Yes. They are a really gimmicky, crazy team to play. And I'm very, very intrigued by what could happen with the Rockets.
Hey, I'm not sure if you watched that game on Wednesday night against the Clippers, but the Rockets just overwhelmed them with that barrage of three-pointers. And how about, I don't know if you saw the box score, Mark, but Beverly with 12 rebounds, 14 points, 12 rebounds.
Yeah, I'm not expecting that every day, though.
Hey, Mark Spears with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, getting ready to wrap up our time. Give us a hit on Dallas. What have you seen take place from the trade deadline and Nerlens Noel coming on board?
I think it's good for Nerlens. He probably needed a breath of fresh air, needed a change. Just a lot of drama in Philly, and I'm sure now with the injuries, Philly regrets trading them. I just think that there he could, it was a smart move by Cuban and Donnie Nelson, because now you can see they're starting to think about the youth of the future. You got Harrison Barnes, you got Nerlens, you could see that they're trying to get younger and prepare for life after Dirk. So those are two good guys to, like, build around for the future, and perhaps the draft helps them later. But I really like what Dallas is, I think Dallas knows who they are, and they're preparing for later, which is very smart.
How much more time does Dirk have? You think this is his last season, or is he going to go one more year?
Good question. I don't take Dirk as a guy that's just going to be out there just to be out there. I think he's a guy that, once it doesn't look good anymore, he's going to walk away. I hope he does one more because, how many guys do you need on that class? I guess he won't be on the class with Kobe. if he goes to the Hall of Fame 5 years from now, it's probably going to be him and Paul Pierce. So that'd still be a pretty good Hall of Fame. And so I want Dirk to do what Dirk wants to do. If he feels like he still wants to play till the wheels go off. You know, I don't think he's embarrassing himself, but it does seem a little hard for me to watch him come off the bench.
Well, they love him in Dallas. And my final question for you is, do take time to give a hit and some love for Harrison Barnes. He has really, I would say in many ways, exceeded expectations. He's had a fantastic season for Rick Carlisle.
Well, I knew he could play that way. Back when he was at Golden State, I knew he had been watching him since high school. The thing with Harrison is he just, you know, he played, it's kind of like James Harden in Houston. He did what he had to do for that team. And now that he's with somebody else that really needs him to bring the old him back, he's able to do it. Like Harrison, to me, I remember he was saying, like, yeah, man, he had to go in a mode that he hadn't had since high school.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To being the guy, the man, not that he wasn't that in North Carolina, too, but he's still like a young buck on that team, whereas now in Dallas, he's expected to carry the load. So I'm really happy for him. I know it was tough. That trade was tough, and, you know, I mean, going to Dallas was tough, but, hey, he stood up for himself. He got the money he thought he deserved. And he's shown and proven that he's worth it.
Absolutely. He knows his stuff. Senior writer with ESPN's The Undefeated. We love him. Mark Spears with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Thank you, Mark, so much for carving out some time. I know you're a busy guy.
Well, you know, that means I got a job.
That's right. Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two at SB Nation Radio. All of our listeners out there, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app, and we responded with the all-new SB Nation radio app available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search SB Nation Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gao Media. You can also stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience. Check us out, podcastarena.com.